the camp will be different this afternoon. I'd like to again outline some of the key points that we talk about. Now, I think to defend the faith, we need to understand that this faith or the truth actually comes from the Lord. It was given to the church, right? Obviously, I think when you look at the Acts of the Apostles or the Apostolic Church, we find that the believers actually share a common faith. Many of the believers that Peter wrote to actually were not converted by Peter himself. Yeah, if you look at 1 Peter, you know, I think majority of them were converted by Paul and other co-workers, and yet they share in the same faith of the same value, right? So I think this has given the true Jesus Church very clear directions to follow. So in that, you know, in the future, if you are sent to set a place to preach, then you have to ensure that what, you know, whatever you talk about, they should be in line with the overall teachings of the church. Okay. I think that is a very clear direction given in the Bible. I think anyone who does otherwise is guilty of what? Of apostasy, if I can use the word. Okay. It's a very serious sin. You'll find that, you know, the work of the flesh actually is to preach heresy. Okay. I want to show you. Galatians, the book of Galatians, chapter 5. The book of Galatians, chapter 5, we read, if you read from verse 19, the works of the flesh, okay, now we now jump to verse 20. If you look at the last description given, is heresies. Can you see that? So heresies actually belongs to the work of the flesh, right? Meaning, is the work that against the work of the Spirit, is against the guidance of the Spirit, yeah? And is in direct contrary to what the Spirit does and teaches. Okay, now so. I think we need to remember we share the same faith of the same value. So no matter where we are, I've been thinking about this. You know, we can have many services, you can have, you know, many fellowship or whatever. If our faith is no longer the same, you find that all these activities in the church shall amount to nothing, right? And you can talk about love or whatever, you know, stuff like that. If there's no truth, the truth has been removed, then you find that all these activities are nothing. Okay, so that's why I think as RE teachers or even, trainers, you want to train people, you have to ensure that, you know, you give them the right thing, right? The truth of God. Right? Okay, so the other thing is, yeah, we talk about inspiration, right? Paul, he received a lot of revelation from God, direct revelation from God. Okay, especially when you read 2 Corinthians, right? He talk about, you know, his encounters with God, you know, stuff, and how he was given wisdom. Okay? And yet you find that whatever he has received at first, did not contradict the overall belief of the Apostolic Church. Okay? That's why he said to Titus that his faith is actually according to that of the elect. Okay? That's the faith of Paul. And also, you find that whenever he has received revelation, he did not fail to what? Consult with the senior figures in Jerusalem. You can see this in Galatians chapter 1 and chapter 2. Right? Direct revelation given, and yet he consulted, you know, the people of reputation. Okay? Now, I think again, this is a very important practice. You know, even you have been given great wisdom, you need to understand this is the Church of God, right? And the wisdom does not belong to you, and therefore everything in the church, you know, that you do, you know, with regards to conveying the message of whatever God has given to you, has to be done so in unity and humility. Right? I think this is the principle. Today, if I have received revelation from God, if people disagree with me, I will keep my mouth shut. I believe that when the time of God comes, if this is the truth from God, then it shall be accepted by the church. You understand what I'm saying? So you find that the truth actually promotes the spirit of unity in the church. The spirit does not divide. Anything that divides the church is not from God. Right? That's why James said it very clearly. Right? I think we need to grab this verse. Yeah? I want you to turn to James. Okay, please turn to the book of James, chapter 3. Okay. Right, now we read verse 17, okay? 17 and verse 18. James chapter 3, verse 17 and verse 18. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Here it talks about the wisdom from above. Yeah, so basically the wisdom comes from God, that discloses the very nature and essence of God. So today, if you have been given revelation of God, you should be able to demonstrate this very nature of God as well in your conveying of the word. Okay? So I don't believe that anything that divides is from God. Cannot be from God. Right now, I think James made it very clear in verse 14, yeah? But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. That is against the truth of God. This wisdom, and James says, this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and the last words is very important. Demonic is actually from the devil, the wicked one. Okay? 14 and 15. Right? So you find that when Paul received revelation, you know, after a period of time, he actually went to Jerusalem to consult the elders. So only when the church accepted his revelation, then, you know, he began to talk about it and to teach. Okay? Now, I think this is a very important principle to abide by. You know, sometimes you are put in a classroom situation. No one else is looking at you. It's like you are free to write anything on a white paper. You know, sometimes your students are like a sheet of paper. It's up to you to write. You know, you can write anything you like. But what is your duty? You need to tell them the truth. You need to write the proper things from the scriptures. You get what I'm saying? Right? Now, so remember, the foundation of the church is the truth. If the truth is removed, the church collapses. There's no point talking about teachings anymore if the truth is not there. Okay? So, now, since we are going to talk about defending the faith, yeah, now, we need to understand that, okay, to defend the faith means there must be an opposing force at work, meaning there must be people or carriers of distorted truth, yeah, to infiltrate the church. That's why you need to defend. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, you're facing an army or whatever, right? Now, in order to explain it more clearly, I want you to understand that since time immemorial, in the scriptures, Satan has been trying to infiltrate into the creation of God, right? And the people, of course, you know, starting from the time of the Garden of Eden, right? You find that Satan came, you know, to spread lies, you know, trying to deceive Eve. You find that the word that he spoke was very, well, appealing to the senses, because you shall be like God. Very, what, appealing, but something that God has never spoken about, right? Now, and your eyes shall be open. My God, you know, can you see? You can imagine that kind of attraction, if I can put it that way, right? It really takes your heart away. Is that not true? It captures your heart, right? Now, in comparison, when you look at the words spoken by God and the words spoken by Satan, which one is more appealing? Satan. But for God, he said, no, the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Full stop. Is that not true? Not appealing at all. So hushed. Right? You get what I'm saying? It goes to show that the word of God is absolute. Sometimes it's not easily understandable, yeah? But on our part, we must hold on to it. You get what I'm saying? Right? Now, so, you know, to be an imparter of God's word, you need to really adjust your mindset so that you are not given to, you know, to the attractions of appealing messages which are not in line with the scriptures. Right? So you must be very firm in your thinking when you talk about the word of God. And again, that has a lot to do with your mindset as well and your heart. If your heart is right before God, then you are not afraid of any appealing messages, seemingly appealing messages. Okay? In the light of the New Testament scriptures, we find that, you know, the apostolic church, you know, after the church has been established for a period of time, you find that the church began to defend the faith, right? Now, I want to show you some examples in the Bible to allow you to understand that these things will be ongoing until the second coming of Christ, according to the book of Revelations. Okay, I want you to read Acts chapter 20. Please turn to the book of Acts chapter 20. We read verse 29. Acts chapter 20, verse 29. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Verse 30. Also from among yourself, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them. Right? Now, here you'll find that Paul was predicting the coming of falsehood or deception into the faith after his departure. Okay, there are two sources of falsehood or false teachers. The first is from out with the church, out with the community of faith. And the second, which is much harder to defend against, is a group of people who is from within the community of faith who would rise up to speak perverse things. Okay? Now, if you look at if you are using NKJV, you'll find that the word perverse actually can also be translated as misleading. Not exactly wrong, but, you know, and it's not exactly accurate. You get what I'm saying? That's why you call misleading. You know, basically it's to draw you away from God. Right? You understand what I'm saying? So the word perverse, yeah, I think the more accurate translation should be misleading. Very misleading. Okay? Now, we other parts, yeah, of the scriptures, like in Galatians, you see the problems of what? Heresy. And in the book of Colossians, you see the problem of heresies. Even in the book of Ephesians, you see the book of heresies. Right? Well, and including Philippians as well. Okay? All this Pauline epistle, you find that very much focused on what? On dealing or resolving the issues of heretical teachings, right? Falsehood, or the deception, yeah, brought about by the wicked one. Right? That's why there is a need to defend. Okay? So, there is a need there for the church to come together to defend as well. Right? Now, so when you read the pastoral epistles written by Paul to Timothy and Titus, likewise you find that the issues of apostasy, the issues of heresies, yeah, are there as well. Okay, so you find that it has become a real challenge, a real problem to the early church. Right? Now, if you read on, like 1 John, 2 John, 3 John is the same, even Jude is the same. You get what I'm saying? 1 Peter, you know, especially 2 Peter, is the same. Yeah, problem of heresy. So it has been an ongoing thing, yeah, all along. Now, if you look at the history of the True Jesus Church, yeah, and I think, you know, for some of us who have been in the church long enough, yeah, to know how many heretic attacks the church has suffered for the past many decades. Okay, so this is a recurring trend. Okay, it happens all the time because this is the work of Satan. That's why every generation, people like you, should be able to stand up for your own faith. Right? That's why I said when you stand up for your own faith, you don't look at the face anymore. You look at the faith. Right? I think that is important, yeah? Okay, I want you to read a passage. We turn to the book of Deuteronomy. Please turn to the book of Deuteronomy. Now, I think to defend the faith, you need to have this strong resolve or determinations, yeah, and to deal with it. Okay, we look at chapter 13, Deuteronomy chapter 13. Please read verse 1, yeah. Now, if there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or wonder, right? Now, verse 2 says, even the sign or wonders comes to pass, then you should not believe, because if this person, yeah, is intended to lead you away from God and to worship other gods. You understand what I'm saying? So you find that even false prophets can perform miracles, signs and wonders. According to Jesus, even the elect might be drawn away. But according to Matthew chapter 24. Okay, now, my point here is this, yeah? I want you to read verse 6 now. If your brother, the son of your mother, your son or your daughter, the wife of your bosom, or your friend who is as your own soul, secretly entices you, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known, neither you nor your father. Okay, now verse 8. You shall not consent to him, or listen to him, nor shall your eyes pity him, nor shall you spare him or conceal him. Verse 9, rather you should kill him. Right? Now, what does it mean? It means that when you deal with falsehood or deception, you have to be very decisive. You have to be very determined. Right? If you don't do anything about it, it will come back to bite you or to sting. Simple as that. Right? So, there must be no compromise as far as dealing with falsehood is concerned. Okay, if you look at the example of Adam and Eve, then you can understand how severe it is. Because Eve was talking to the snake, and what happened? Yeah, she was bitten by the snake, and she was poisoned to death. Yeah, according to Paul, yeah, the simplicity in Christ or in God was corrupted. Right? So you cannot say, because this guy is my friend, so, you know, we need to love him, we need to tolerate or whatever. We are not talking about a misunderstanding here. We are talking about the truth which has been perverted. Right? That's why when you look at all the New Testament scriptures, all the apostles were very strict and straightforward about it. Like, just like Paul, let this guy be accursed. What does the word accursed mean? It means to be severed, to be cut off, yeah, from having any part with God, with Christ. You can see the intensity that you need to have in defending the faith. We are not trying to build up a group of people who always fill with anger and to go out to kill people, to hate people. No, that's not the intention. Right? Now, as far as falsehood is concerned, there must be great resolve, yeah, on our parts to deal with it. We cannot pretend. Yeah? We cannot say, oh, nothing will happen. Right? That is being self-deceiving. You deceive yourself. Okay? Now, so that is why when we talk about defending the truth, you need to have this. Okay? This desire. Obviously, like what we said before, okay? Now, in defending the truth, your heart must be very, very strong in the Lord. Just like all the apostles, when they talk about defending the faith, right? You can see the way they talk about the truth, right? Very clearly. They did not pretend. Right? I will show you an example now. Return to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15. Yeah, and see how they defend the faith. Okay? Now, Acts chapter 15. Okay, now we read verse 24. Yeah? Verse 24. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such command. Okay, the apostle said, these people have gone out from us. Simple as that. Why? Because they taught something very different. Yeah? They proposed, or they're trying to penetrate the church with the ideas that, you know, a person can only be saved if he is circumcised. Yeah? And that is in direct contradictions to the gospel of grace. You understand what I'm saying? Right? That's why the apostle said, these people have gone out from us, and they have come to trouble you with words, unsettling your souls. Right? Now you find that the apostle pointed it out very clearly to the believers. Actually, it's a decree to be read. Now if you look at chapter 15 very carefully, and this decree is read throughout all the churches, all the Gentile churches, no reservation. And sometimes we fear, if we do this, what happened? Oh, people will be curious to know more about this. No, that is not the way forward. Look at how the apostle deal with it. All the churches must be known, because this thing is harming the church. Right? We cannot pretend. Because if we pretend, then God will hold us responsible, will hold us accountable. Right? So, if you want to defend, then you need to know your position, how to go about doing it. Even if you know that someone in the church is preaching something very different, then you need to expose him. You need to report it to the church. This is how you defend it. You cannot say, that guy is my good friend. You cannot pretend. God will hold you responsible. Right? It is to be read from all the churches. Okay. Now, we look at it again. Chapter 15. Now, if you look at the issues here, right? Actually, it's like we are saying that obviously this is salvation issues, right? So that's why the apostle, you know, dealt with it very severely. Okay. Now you find that the apostle were able to do it so acutely. I think because also with great sharpness, because they were filled by the power of the Holy Spirit. They were filled by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, on the contrary, today, if you look at the church, right, and you find that many are deceived, many cannot see the light, yeah, because we lack this power from the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, to defend require us to have the power from on high. Okay? Now, so if the heart is not right before God, the power cannot come. The power will never be given to us. Right? That's why you find that there's a lot of deception going on. A lot of deception. Yeah, people just cannot see. And people thought that, oh, this is okay, no problem. Yeah, go along with it. And if we do that, then you shall suffer the consequence. Right? Right, now we move on to Galatians. Look at Galatians. Turn to Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. Okay, verse 6, yeah? Verse 6. Chapter 1, verse 6. Yeah? I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Right? Now, you find that the church or the churches in Galatia, or at least a certain section of the church, has turned to another gospel. You find that this gospel is not from Paul, because Paul is talking about, you know, the gospel that he preached to them, right? Now, here if you look at it very clearly, verse 7, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Okay? Very, very strong statement here. Let him be accursed. Okay? And meaning these people should be put out of the church. Yeah, if repentance is not forthcoming, then drastic action must be taken as quickly as possible to get rid of this rot in the church. Otherwise, the whole church will be contaminated. That's why every one of you, okay? If you know that someone is teaching, is preaching something contrary to the faith, you have the duty to expose it. You have the duty to reveal it and to report it to the church. But to safeguard your own flock. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Now, because if we don't, then God will, again I said, will hold us responsible, accountable. Right? Now, you can see that whenever, you know, the Bible talks about falsehood or false teaching, the apostles were very stern about it. There is no compromise. There is no compromise. There cannot be any form of compromise. Right? Now, you know why? Because the deceivers, they can no longer receive the word anymore. No matter what you said, they will not listen anymore. Okay, put it that way. But what we are going to do is to safeguard the what? The flock. Right? And those people who are not affected. And for those who have been deceived, you know, they will not listen. And they do not have the capacity to listen. And in fact, according to Paul, let's read the verse. We read chapter 2, 2 Timothy. Second Timothy, we read chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, we read verse 13. Verse 13. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Right? Something that you cannot change. It will happen. Okay? You cannot change these people anymore because their mind have been completely deceived. And you find that these people have turned deceivers themselves. Right? And what we can do is to safeguard the flock. Right? Now, remember this. If you know of anyone who preaches something contrary, it's not just a minor difference, it's a, you know, it's something that against the faith of the church. And again, I said you have the duty to expose the person. Not only you cannot buy into the idea, you must fully expose the person. Right? So that everyone can be aware of him. Right? So that no one shall be affected by him. You know, these people, they can come in what the Bible said, in sheep clothing. They can pretend. Yeah? They do their work, you know, underground, we said, okay, in a clandestine manner, right? You find that all their works are done covertly, okay? That's why, you know, if everyone is very, you know, awake, right, is very watchful, then together we can expose this, right, so that the church can be secure. This is how you defend. I think there are so many of you here, right? Then you should be prepared to do this for the sake of the church. Any heretic teachings, anyone trying to secretly preach to you anything different, then you need to expose the person to the church. Right. Okay, now let's look at another example. We turn to Titus. Please turn to Titus. Okay, we look at 2 Timothy first. 2 Timothy, here is another case of dealing with heresies. How to defend the faith. Okay, this is what Paul taught Timothy to do, okay? Now we look at chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Alright, now, look at verse 17, yeah? Verse 17. And their message will spread like cancer. Okay? Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort. You find that Paul actually pointed out their name. You understand what I'm saying? This is how you defend. You need to name the person who preach heresy. You cannot pretend, oh, don't talk about him. No. You need to name the person. This is the practice of the apostle. If you know that I preach the heresy, then you need to name it. Let the church know about it. Let everyone know about it. So that they can be very careful not to draw close to this person. Right? Now this is what Paul did. This is how you defend. Is that not true? Right? Now, what sort of heresy is this? Now you find that this one is not about the basic belief anymore. Right? It's about resurrections. Right? Now, why were the apostles, yes, so concerned over this issue? Yeah, if this has nothing to do with the basic belief like baptism or whatever, then why should they be so concerned over it? Because this is going to attack the very core of Christianity. Because resurrection is what? Is to tell us that Christ has overcome death. Right? That's the call of Christianity. And this call of Christianity is being challenged. Now, let me put this to you very clearly, okay? Things concerning resurrection cannot be changed. Things concerning the second coming of Christ, that cannot be changed. Things concerning God, the attributes of God, the divinity of God, cannot be changed. right? Because all this actually concerns the whole of Christianity. You understand what I'm saying? Right? And, you know, anyone who preaches anything contrary to these three aspects, he is guilty of what? Shifting the foundation of the church. Simple as that. Right? Now, look at chapter 2 again. So, because of their preaching, so some people have strayed concerning the truth. Again, can you see now? Because of this resurrection thing, so people have strayed away from the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Okay, now you can imagine, if there is no resurrection or resurrection is past, then why should Christian live a godly life? There's no need for that. Right? Can you can see how damaging the message is. Outwardly, it seems it's only a kind of thinking, or it's only a kind of philosophical argument or debate or whatever. But if you dig deep, if you go deep into the essence of the message, you find that it actually leads to what? Ungodliness. Right? Now, that's why Paul said to the church, verse 19, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having the seal, the Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Now, why did Paul talk about this? Because that kind of message destroyed the belief that, you know, that, like, you know, there is a need for believers to what? To live in a godly manner. Right? Now, so, sometimes certain concepts seems to be very harmless in a way. Okay, outwardly seems harmless. In reality, what? It destroys the faith. Yeah, it corrupts the mind. Right? And the simplicity in Christ is corrupted. Right? Now, so this is one example, yeah, how they defend the faith. They name the person, I'm telling you, they name the person. Yes. Right? And these two, they name. That's what I said, yeah? If you come to know about anyone who teaches anything that is different from non-basic belief, things that the church does not agree, then you need to expose. That's your duty. Right? But you must be prepared for reprisal. They will come back and attack you. But you shouldn't be feared. Right? That is the heart that you need to have when you talk about defending the faith. Because this is the community of God. We come into the community with the understanding that we have accepted the same gospel. Is that not true? And now someone, some guy from somewhere, yeah, arises and he starts preaching something very different. And we all have the duty to defend our own house. Own family. Right? Okay, now let's look at another example. We turn to Titus. Yeah, Titus, yeah? We read chapter 1. Here is another case of defending the faith. How to defend. Chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, we read verse 10. "But there are many insubordinates, both idle, talkers, and deceivers." Talk about deceivers, huh? "Especially those of the circumcision." Now, verse 11, "whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole household, teaching things which they ought not, for the sake of dishonest gain." They are teaching things that they ought not. Okay? So what happened? Their mouth must be stopped. Now, how are you going to stop them? Two ways. First, you prove them wrong by telling the church the truth. You understand what I'm saying? Right? If they say something which is different from the gospel that you have received, then you need to point out where the wrong is by telling the truth. That's why you must be equipped to tell. Okay, this is wrong. Right? Just like Paul told Titus. Now, the second thing is, to stop their mouth, is by calling to Paul, is to rebuke them. If you read verse 13, This testimony is true, therefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Right? You know, we hope that, you know, being gentle is not being weak. Being gentle is not being timid. Being gentle, being humble is not being afraid, or not being a coward. You need to speak up. Right? You speak up for the truth of God. That's why if need be, you need to rebuke, even rebuke severely. Whether the person listen or not, we have done our part, and we entrust the matter unto the hand of the Lord. That's the thing that we need to do. Right? That's all. We cannot pretend in the church, especially right now. We cannot pretend. Right? In God we are strong, by ourselves we are weak. In God we fear no one. Right? That should be the attitude. Right? We can be very gentle, we don't quarrel, but we come to the church, when we come to the truth, we need to expose it fully, 100%, where the wrong is. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? This is how you defend. Because when you talk about defending, again, like what I said, you are not just going against the person, the deceivers, because you are going against the force at the back as well, behind the person. Right? That's why not only you must be very prayerful, you must be very strong as well in your heart. Must be very strong. Okay? Now, let's look at chapter 1 again, Titus. Okay? And see what the problem is here. Okay. It's like they are introducing a kind of fables in the church, who cause people to turn from the truth. Yeah? You can see this in verse 14. Now, verse 15, I think here it gives us some idea about the problem. Again, this is not basic beliefs. No? Not about the basic beliefs of the church. But here it causes confusion in the church. And this is not permissible. Right? Now, if you look at verse 15, to the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled. It's like they are saying that, like, if you read the 1 Timothy chapter 4, it's like certain food cannot be eaten, you know, like certain food is unclean, stuff like that. It's like, it's just like a personal opinion. But this personal opinion brings about confusion in the church. Okay? Now, what did Paul say to Titus? He said, these people profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. And God will not use this kind of people. You know that God has His way to phase people out. Seriously. So if you want to serve God, you have to make sure that you hold on to the truth. And today, if I choose not to hold on, eventually I will be phased out. God has His way to remove people from His workforce, put it this way. Right? Now, so this kind of thing is about clean and unclean things are being introduced. It's like making into a rules or whatever. And yet what happened? These people have to be sharply rebuked. Yeah? Because it causes a lot of confusion in the church. Alright, now we turn to 1 Timothy. Now we turn to 1 Timothy. Now, I think here it gives us some rough idea of what these things are all about. Okay? Now again, you find that this is not about basic belief. Okay, if you look at it very carefully. But I think many of the things here are against the very basic principle of God, or the institutions of God. Now in chapter 4, we read that, verse 2. Now speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, here it describes the nature of the deceivers. There's, these people do not have a conscience. They don't have a conscience. We are dealing with people who don't have a conscience. You need to understand that. Those who have been deceived, or when we talk about deceivers, they have no conscience at all. Alright? Now, here it says they forbid to marry and they command to abstain from food which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. But again, it's about food. Yeah, it's a personal choice. Yeah, but whatever they said, yeah, caused a lot of confusion in the church. And according to Paul, you know, this is what? This is the teachings of the deceiving spirits. Right? Now, so anything that causes division and confusion in the church cannot be from God. That's the basic principle we have talked about earlier. Right? So today, if your revelation causes so much confusion in the church, then you have to be very careful. You have to be very careful. Right? Now, so you find that, yeah, you know, all the apostles, they laid down very clearly what kind of problem, you know, what kind of heresy the church were facing then. You get what I'm saying? Right? Okay, now we move on to another one. Yeah, we move on to another one. Yeah? We turn to 1 John. First John, yeah? We read chapter 2. First John chapter 2. Now, verse 18 and verse 19. Here's another example how John, yeah, helped defend the faith, okay? Now, he wrote to the members and telling them about this. Little children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been with us, they would not have continued with us. They would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Now, talking about Antichrist here. Now, verse 22. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Again, this is not basic belief. He's talking about a concept. You know, these people were proposing that, you know, God being extreme, supremely holy, you know, he could not have come in the flesh, meaning he could not have been trapped in this what? In this flesh, which they deem to be very wicked. Okay? Wicked. Right? Now, that's why they said, you know, God could not have come in the flesh. And according to John, this is Antichrist. This is Antichrist. Again, if you look at it very carefully, it's actually what destroyed the very essence of Christianity. Right? Now, that's why John said to them, these people are Antichrist. They have come. They have come. Verse 18 said they have come. Verse 19 said, they have what? They have gone out from us. How is it that they have come and now they have gone out from us? They have come mean these people have arisen to oppose the church. Now, why is it that they oppose the church, oppose the believers? Because they have gone out from the church. Right? Can you see now? Right? The church is the body of Christ. It's the body of Christ. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Now, we always say, yeah, you know, the church is like our mother, isn't it? Is it also? Spiritually speaking, it's given birth to us through the church. Is it also? How can you attack your own mother? Can you? No, you can't. How can you attack your own brothers and sisters? You can't. You understand what I'm saying? Right? So, that kind of wisdom, like what James says, is not from God. Definitely is not from God. Okay? Now, so, this is the Antichrist, yeah? The Antichrist. So, there are many examples in the Bible. Huh? Now, so, you need to understand, when you are dealing with false prophets, or when you are trying to defend the faith, you are facing a great challenge, because these people, they are plotters. Okay? They are plotters. We turn to Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians. Chapter 4. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We read verse 14. Look at the work of the deceivers. You know, if you want to defend, then you need to know their works, how they operate. How they operate. Okay? Now, Ephesians chapter 4. We look at verse 14. That we should no longer be children, right? Meaning we must grow. Yeah, we must grow up quickly. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrines by the trickery of men. They play tricks. Alright? They are not straightforward people. Right? Not only that, here it says, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. In order to achieve their goal, you find that they even plot against others to remove those who oppose them so that they can achieve their goals. Right? So when you talk about defending the truth, we are not just talking about, you know, preaching a message or delivering a lesson only. We're talking about dealing with this kind of people. You understand what I'm saying? Right? And according to Paul, they are plotters, they are very tricky. That's why, you know, obviously to overcome them require great spiritual cultivation on our part. Right? Because their mind is to divide the church. Their mind is to split up people. Right? They want to cause confusion. Their mind is not for the good of the church. Right? Their mind is not for the unity of the church. They never think about to be united. They just want to build up walls of enmity. Right? So that the church of God cannot be fully built. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, let's look at another example and see how they operate and how they behave. We turn to Hebrews. We read chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, we read verse 9. Chapter 13, verse 9. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the hearts be established by grace, not with food, which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. Now, if you look at this very carefully, you know, here it talks about various and strange doctrines. It may not just be one set of doctrines. It could be different set of doctrines. And on top of that, you'll find that their doctrines are evolutionaries. They can change from time to time. Right? They can shift their position very quickly from one to another. Why? To cover up their trails. You understand what I'm saying? And this is the plot of the wicked one. They have different type of doctrines. Right? Okay, now, one more before we close, yeah, for tonight. I want you to read Revelations. Yeah. Look at, actually, there are so many. Yeah. If you have time, we'll go through with you Jude and 2 Peter. Right? But for tonight, we'll look at Revelations chapter 13. Revelations chapter 13. Revelations chapter 13. We read verse 5 and verse 5 and verse 6. Talk about the beast, right? Biblically speaking, you know, a beast can represent false prophets. So. Verse 5, and he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Yeah. Now, verse 6, then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. This is the ultimate works of Satan, or the false prophet. Is to attack God, to attack his name and to attack the church, tabernacle representing the church, and also those who dwell in heaven, those who do not buy into the ideas, they will attack. Right? So these are the works of the false prophet. Okay, so when you talk about defending, yeah, now don't think that it is such a simple task. You know, or just stand up to preach a sermon, that's it, that's the end of the story. But far from it. Far from it. Okay? You're dealing with a group of people at whom Satan has taken over their mind. Okay? You know, the deceivers, you know, and those who preach heresies, they are the captives of Satan. They are there to achieve not the will of God, they are there to achieve the will of Satan. Right? Therefore, we must be mindful of this. Right? Now, you find that, yeah, to be honest, from the scriptures and also from, you know, the experienced fathers, you find that these people, unless God, you know, give them special mercy, otherwise they can never turn back. And that's for sure. That's for sure, because their heart has been hardened to see the light of God. We're dealing with this kind of people. We need to understand this. But to me, defending the faith is not just about preaching a sermon. It's much more than that. Right? And that requires a lot of conviction and faith in God and prayer and spiritual cultivation as well. Right? You know, you find that in the Bible, these people, they only have one thing in mind. Yet they go all out to destroy. But they are not for God. You know, you need to understand also, sometimes you may not be able to detect them very easily, because Jesus said, these people that come in sheep clothing, they're just like any other sheep in the fold. You can't tell because they can pretend. Because Satan is a liar, is a deceiver, and he always masquerades himself like an angel of light. Okay? You can't tell just by looking at the person, just by eating, talking with them, you can't tell. Right? Because they are all on sheep clothing. Right? Now, so, to defend, you need to know who you are fighting against. Right? So you need to be very prayerful. But to be prayerful is to strengthen your heart. So that when there is a need to speak out, then you have to speak out. You have to speak out by all means. You need to speak out. And this is required of us. Right. So, tomorrow I will continue. And I will touch on some of the questions that I think some of you want me to discuss and talk about. Yeah. I'll be more than happy to talk about them tomorrow. And I think the next day I will talk about a bit about, you know, how the evil spirit, you know, can work on a person, like in a normal way. You know, you cannot detect it. But I think the scriptures has given us very clear guidelines, right? How to know that, you know. How to identify these people. Now, why should we identify these people? So that, you know, we can take precaution against them. You understand what I'm saying? Until they can pretend, they all can pretend very well according to the scriptures. Very well. Okay. Right. Any question before I close? Any questions? If not, then we pray. Keep things simple.